632-6457. That's 632-6457 and online at NYPIRG.org. That's NYPIRG.org.
Amnesty International has been working to protect human rights worldwide for many years. We have more than 2.2 million members and growing with supporters and subscribers in 150 different countries in every region of the world. We are a nonprofit organization and a democratic self-governing movement. If you want to get involved, join our organization, make a donation, and appeal for human rights action around the world today. For more information, go to www.amnesty.org.
And you are listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. It's 6:04 and well past time for Off the Wall. Yes, there it is, our new theme. Well, it's not new anymore, but the theme's Off the Wall. It is Off the Wall. Emmanuel here, joined by Kyle.
Hi.
Say hello.
Hi.
Okay. What? You can't hear?
Well,
fine time to tell me you can't hear,
talking in the
Kyle.
Future, but I'm listening in the past.
Okay, hold on. Does that work?
Maybe.
Well, you got to tell me. You got to communicate.
Yeah, that's a little better.
Oh, you can hear now.
Wow.
12 minutes after 6, and we finally realize our headphones don't work. Okay.
You know, I've been embracing jet lag. I've been, you know, kind of easing back into things, observing society as it bustles around me, and this takes the cake. This is like a proper introduction to WSB Stony Brook, the greatest station in the nation.
I gave a legal ID already. Are you giving a second legal ID in case mine wasn't good enough?
I'm giving all the illegal IDs tonight.
Yeah, illegal IDs. That's exactly
quite illegal.
Uh-huh.
Very illegal.
Uh-huh. We're back in the States.
I'm back in the States with you, and illegal without the S word.
Uh-huh.
Because we're legal like that.
Oh, wow. The things we saw, the things we heard.
We couldn't even recognize America, could we, E?
We tried not to. We tried to pretend we didn't know it. And it worked for the most part. I mean, people gave us the benefit of the doubt, and they had a lot of doubts. I think we did okay. Didn't say anything stupid. Didn't get pointed at and laughed at.
No. I mean, we tried not to be the sore thumbs that we are when we stick out, because, you know, when you're traveling, you can be awkward and, you know, walking around with bags full of laundry or, you know, other crazy things. That's what traveling does to you.
Yes.
You do crazy things that you wouldn't ordinarily go for, impulse coffee because you've been up for like 2 nights.
Coffee?
I don't know. Coffee in the strangest places. Crazy machines in Moldova that produce some kind of coffee liquid. But that's the craziness of, you know, making trains. And that was our adventure. It was It was so fun. And I can't believe we're back already. But
I can't either. It's a whirlwind. We were gone for a month. We saw Christmas 3 times. Because we left on Christmas, and then we were in Moldova on January 7th, which was their Christmas, but that was Sunday. So then they had another Christmas on Monday, the 8th. It was ridiculous. I mean, it was great, but wow, I've never had anything like that before. And yeah, you mentioned Moldova. What an amazing place that was. What an amazing, cool country that no one has heard of, that so few people. It's the least traveled to country in Europe. And that includes Liechtenstein, by the way.
Yeah, there's like 300, 400 people for every one tourist that visits there in a year. So, hey, go to Moldova.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
It's cheap, too. It's really cheap.
Talk to your travel agent and make sure that they're very open-minded when you suggest where you'd like to go, because you're going to Moldova. And tell them Kyle sent you.
You know, it's not easy to get to, though. I don't think you can fly directly to Moldova from New York.
Oh, that takes the fun out of it.
Well, no, it doesn't, because we took a train from Romania, from Bucharest. Lovely city, Bucharest, by the way. I was there once before. I was scared to death because it was only a few years after the dictatorship fell. Now it's just a really bustling cosmopolitan city.
It really is. It's kind of happening.
Uh-huh.
I would say it's happening.
It's happening, all right.
Except they need to happen a little bit past 11, especially if you go to see a movie.
It's happening. No, the city is happening. It's the metro that stops happening at 11 o'clock every night for some reason.
They could happen more in, but you know, these are our little observations. What can you really judge a whole city by? One missed train.
Well, no, all the missed train, because they stopped running, period.
We missed a lot of them.
We had to walk.
We walked.
Yeah, a lot of walking. In fact, walking is probably why I hurt my foot. It was in Rocla. Remember that we were trying to get the last bus in Rocla, because, again, it just ends too early. I think it was around midnight there.
I feel like it was a pivot.
We had to, cobblestone streets, we had to walk fast, walking all over Europe. And I just felt this pain in my foot, and that was 2 weeks ago. It's gotten a lot better, but I still feel it. And I guess it's just strain or something from just so much exertion and walking and
pick up and put down.
You take it for granted.
Yeah,
you really do.
In fact, I Was it not Carol Off, one of our favorite radio personalities?
As it happens.
From Canada, from the CBC, who was mentioning the importance of footwear while traveling. And that cannot be overstated. I mean, it is so crucial. The one thing, if you're going to bring anything, is, you know, socks and shoes.
Well, I did bring socks. I mean, I brought the pair of shoes I was wearing. You see, we travel very light.
You got to take care of your feet when you travel.
You got to take care of your feet, but, you know, I can't carry a whole assortment of shoe wear.
No,
or footwear, whatever it's called. Yeah, I don't even know what it's called.
You see people like that, but they don't look happy. They're
people
not as happy as you are.
Trunks, people carrying these massive suitcases that are bigger than they are. Why even leave the house? Seriously, what are you getting out of this? We walk around, we have a knapsack and maybe another bag for electronics and things like that. And we have so much. We, you know, the clothes are just one thing. You know, you just throw on whatever. It comes together, believe me. You have to have a computer, you have to have a phone, you have to have recording devices of various sorts, especially if you're us.
We've been going extra light on the equipment side lately. I mean, I was actually kicking myself, like, oh, why didn't I bring my software-defined radio or, you know, my other gizmos and gadgets?
Why didn't you bring your software-defined
exactly,
radio?
Exactly.
I want to know.
Wi-Fi amplifiers and other microcontrollers. Uh-huh. And, you know, I had plenty of work to do on some LED projects, or the list goes on of microelectronics. And, you know, you can fit that kind of thing when you're not bringing your entire shoe collection or cabinet of toiletries. And, you know, I actually measure. I get happy towards the end of a trip because, all right, I'm nearly out of – well, it's not good to run out of mouthwash, but it's heavy. You know, there's a lot of mouthwash.
You can get mouthwash overseas. You don't have to cart it around with you.
But there's that night where you're like, okay, I'm not going to be on the road anymore, so I'm going to, you know, go crazy. I'm not going to conserve my my toiletries as much. I might have two rinses with my mouthwash because, oh geez, I'll be back in a place where I have lots of mouthwash. Okay, that's kind of a stupid example, but the point is your one bag that you've been carrying was hurting your shoulder the other day, it's a little lighter that next day, and you can look forward to these things as you wrap up a trip. But it was a month. I mean, that's a long time.
It is.
And people bring crazy amounts of stuff for much shorter trips.
I've seen people overpack for a weekend, you know, more than what we brought for a month.
Right.
And the thing is, you know, they have laundromats. In fact, we had laundromat adventures. We already talked about one.
Yes.
In Romania, the automatic one where you have to give them your Facebook info before they'll even open the door for you. And we managed to bypass that because somebody held the door for us.
That was
just great.
Yeah, that was a good experience.
But we couldn't leave then. Because we couldn't get back in if we did leave.
Well, you went out and got refreshments, and then I stayed there to let you in.
I got beer.
But you
beer for like 50 cents.
Yeah. But
I love Romania. Romania is amazing.
There was a secret knock, and yeah, we had it all worked out. It was coordinated, and, you know, you come out on top. You do all right. You just have to, you know, work the system.
Well, you
figure
do all right,
out the system.
You do all right if you're open to things not going exactly the way you had it planned, because it never does. And credit to you, Kyle, because you're always open to that. And that's what turns it into an enjoyable experience as opposed to torture, which was what happens when a lot of Americans travel and they don't get everything exactly the way they want it to be.
Figure out the system, finesse the system, work the system, survive the system, but just accept that it's just a system and, you know, other people survive. And the millions of people in Bucharest can't all be having the same problem as you. Even if there's only one laundromat there, it's survivable. And those little moments where you don't necessarily understand things, you just have to open your eyes, like listen for the solution, see what's around you, and of course the people are there to help too if you're willing to let them, and even if you don't understand what they're saying, just listening to what they're probably telling you.
I don't think there was a single place we went to. And just to give you an idea where we went to Germany, we went to Hungary, we went to Romania, we went to Moldova, Ukraine for a day, Poland, Belgium, we passed through France, England, and Iceland, all that in 1 month. And I don't think there's a single place we were in where people were not helpful and nice. And, you know, I also think it reflects back, you know, if you're nasty to them, they're not going to be very helpful to you. But you always try and listen. Even if you don't understand the language, you try and communicate whatever way you can. And people are remarkably helpful. And you know, our asses were saved quite a few times by, you know, language barriers and cultural things that we didn't quite get. Well, we were guided.
Appreciate those things. I mean, you cannot deny if there's some kind of political thing that's going on, or like you mentioned at the top of the show, a holiday celebration. It so behooves you to have that understanding of what they're doing, what their weekend is probably going to be like, why they're excited and setting off fireworks in the streets. Those are all cultural sensitivities that it's on you, the traveler, to figure out.
So imagine a certain president finding himself in a foreign country on January 7th, and people are saying, it's Christmas today. He would say, no, it's not. You're stupid. And, you know, all kinds of horrible things. And he would not get the benefit of that amazing experience that we got, because we believed it was Christmas on January 7th. Because, you know what? It was. In Moldova, on that day, it's Christmas. Deal with it. And it was awesome.
Yeah. Why would you? Why say otherwise? Uh-huh. Except what is understood locally and move on and be a participant.
Just to step outside of travel for a second, you're going to watch the State of the Union tonight? I know you have the DVR all set to record
so,
it. So.
Yeah, I feel a couple ways about this. I'm not sure I need to hear any particular part of it. I do want to see the ovations, of course, all of that sort of
ovations?
Extra. Yes, the details. There will be the standing and the clapping and the sort of pomp and circumstance.
Okay. Everybody who stands tonight and applauds at the State of the Union address, you're dead to me. All right? Everybody, especially if any Democrat stands up. If any Democrat even applauds one clap, you're dead to me. How about that? I think, you know, the Democrats need to grow a spine already. You know, the few of them are boycotting. They should all be boycotting. This is insane. You can't let this maniac continue to destroy the country. And by showing up, that's exactly what you're doing. You know, you gotta disrupt. You gotta basically tear down this regime before it gets any worse. And you know, I long for the days where people threw pies. I've said this before. I don't know if. If you're attending the State of the Union address, I don't know if they check you for things, you know. You probably have to go through a metal detector, because some of those congressmen, you don't know what they're going to do. But will they check you for a pie? Probably they would say, why are you bringing a pie? Ruth Bader Ginsburg, if she were going, she could bring a pie in, I'll bet. But I don't think she could throw it.
It's, you know, what they are checking is people's citizenship. And
at the State of the Union address?
It's true. There's been calls for citizenship checks by ICE. This is,
oh, my God. You saw that. You saw that.
A story that was going around, and I heard bits of it, of course, on C-SPAN this afternoon. Basically, several Democrat, West Coast, obviously, Democratic.
What do you mean, obviously? We've got our East Coast Democrats here that have some guts.
Right. But, you know, those crazy Ninth Circuit, you know, activist representatives and senators are bringing Dreamers and other immigrants as their guests, because they're allowed to have guests. And there has been efforts to disrupt that by it's basically scaring, using fear to keep non-citizens who may come in solidarity or come as a witness of this event and guests, basically threatening them that they'll be caught or otherwise messed with.
Well, they're saying, you know, we should bring ICE agents to the State of the Union address if Dreamers are brought. It's do they realize how evil and horrible they sound just by saying something like that? It's just, you know, if this were a TV show, I would say, you know, it's a little exaggerated how evil you're making these people look. I mean, for God's sake, Steve Miller, just look at him. Just hear what he says. Just look at the death in his eyes to realize, you know, this is not believable. This guy is just too evil. Come on, tone it down a little bit. Otherwise, no one's going to buy this. But this is our reality right now. This is what's happening. So, yeah, throw a damn pie. Well, you know what? Okay, you can't get a pie in. Everybody's got two shoes, all right? And, you know, George W. Bush had a shoe thrown – he had two shoes thrown at him, in fact. You know, everybody could at least – if everybody throws a shoe, they won't go after one person. I know. You're in Congress. You don't want to jeopardize your position, all that. But for God's sake, at some point, you're going to have to throw a shoe. At some point.
Yeah, I don't know what the solution is. I really don't. I mean, I want to go there in a lot of ways. I want to see that in a lot of ways. I also, like you've said a lot of times before, I want to hear the words. I want to let them speak, you know, that kind of thing where it's like, you know what? You're despicable. You're just adding to the overall divisiveness and polarity. But at the same time... I don't want to honor that process. I don't want to give it the respect of even being there or listening in that way either.
We've let them speak a lot.
Yeah, we've
They've
heard a
said
lot.
A lot of stuff. And, I mean, how much more do you need to hear?
Yeah, and that's why that thing of, like, even honoring and going without protesting, I think, is saying a lot more than opposing it and resisting this as some sort of conclusion about our country.
You know, what'll make me happy tonight? What will make me happy, I know all the Democrats aren't going to sit the thing out. I know nobody's going to throw a damn shoe, and probably no one's going to get a pie into the room. What would make me happy is just one demonstration of opposition, of resistance, something that is dramatic. Not just, oh, look, Nancy Pelosi didn't stand up and applaud like everybody else. Not that. Something where, you know, somebody shouts something or unfurls something or has the cameras turned on them, and something that Trump will be muttering about as he lapses off to sleep tonight because his big day was ruined. That will make me happy.
Yeah, no, I don't know if we'll see that. I mean, it's tough to get banners into these places now. Like I said, there's checking and all of that at the door.
One letter at a time.
You do it
with all the Congress people of your district, and you have a sentence before you know it.
You've got all these politicians that do want to be guests, that do want to bear witness to this. But it's high time, actually, that we – I don't know. He's – actually dissolving one of three investigations into collusion and
it's not just him, it's his party or the party he claims to be part of that is actually basically throwing the reputation of the FBI under the bus and dissolving this investigation because they know they're onto something. And why else would you do that in the first place? So it's really it's disgusting what is happening here. They're revealing information that is supposedly sensitive in the eyes of the intelligence community. And, you know, I'm no big fan of the intelligence community, but I trust them a hell of a lot more than I trust these people. I'll say that. And to see the extent that they're going to derail an investigation that we need to know the facts about. We need to know just what the collusion level was. And there is so much there, so much obviously there, just based on the reaction and the insane backlash that everybody involved seems to throw at this.
And not just collusion, I think borderline competency, mm-hmm. like the marginal ability of this administration to execute anything, they have not very much to point to as a success. That's been, you know, said and obvious, you know, to many people that are just basically like, yo, this year's been a distraction, and really lacked any kind of inertia. And so all the things that are going to be touted, like infrastructure or, you know, other kinds of things with jobs or tax breaks and so on, is a lot of puffery, mm-hmm. and it's not really concrete, and would be just more promises, based on his record and I guess the again like overall competency of the team he's got in place or what's left of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's kind of like disintegrating, and we're supposed to buy into it, and this is the big sales pitch. So here you go, America. Do you believe this? Do you believe this stuff? Is it all fake news? Everything that is against what they're trying to impose upon us, whether it's net neutrality or other things, or are you with Burger King? Are you with are you with the opposition? Do you maybe have a little bit of critical thinking left and want something better?
Yeah. Now, look up the Burger King ad, Burger King net neutrality. Just look that up on YouTube. You'll see if you haven't seen it already. It's genius. But yeah, OK, so we'll probably catch a glimpse of the State of the Union tonight. That's going to be a high point and a low point. But let's get back to what we were going to talk about tonight, because I don't want Trump to hijack yet another show. And also, we'll be opening up phone lines, 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. So let's talk about the two countries we didn't actually talk about. We have a whole Iceland show. We might even have two Iceland shows from our adventure driving around the Ring Road. In the wintertime, we drove around the entire Ring Road of Iceland, which everybody told us was a bad idea. And that, they might have been right if we had gone a week later, because that's when snow hit and there were avalanches and things like that. But nothing when we went, so we were pretty lucky. But we last week, we got up to the point of leaving Poland, and we got back into Berlin. Actually, it was the first time we were in Berlin. We had started in Leipzig and made our way down to Hungary. And I hadn't been in Berlin in years, so it was great to kind of go back to a city that we were somewhat familiar with. That's also another secret of travel, is to keep going back to familiar places, because then you feel like you've come home again.
Yeah, I think the major observation for us that we both really appreciated was how easy it is to get around that city.
Every
building you walk out of, you're 10 paces away from a stop or a tram, or you're very, very close in proximity to whatever kind of access to the transportation network that you would ever need.
Well, I hurt my foot, remember, in Poland, just earlier, a little bit earlier, so I couldn't walk that much. I couldn't walk very far, so we had to meet people, and, I didn't want to walk very far from a stop, and I never had to. Maybe a block, that's it. So that's pretty incredible, and Berlin, like you say, is just so easy to get around. And once you know the system is very simple. You buy your ticket, get a day pass, done. You don't even have to show your ticket to get on. Maybe a ticket inspector will ask to see it. Maybe not. We didn't have that happen once. But it's an incredibly simple city to get around.
Yeah, it's so once you're familiar with it, and even after a hiatus maybe of a couple of years, it just comes back to you, and it's really convenient. You have these really great experiences too. I mean, all transit systems yes. are fascinating and have really kind of unique clientele, and are ferrying people from every side of town to the other. And it's really great people watching if you're fascinated by what's going on. And it's self-aware, right? What are my surroundings? Who all is here? What is going on? An interesting thing that we get a little bit. We've talked about this a little bit on the MTA, but dogs are allowed on the U-Bahn system.
That's right.
So you very well may be sitting next to a four-legged customer.
But dogs, they're different. They're different on it's U-Bahn and S-Bahn, two different types of mass transit in Berlin.
It's true. They're dignified because they don't have to be in bags.
They basically, a dog will be sitting there and he'll be quiet. First of all, the trains are a lot more quiet too, but he'll just be hanging out, and then another dog will get on. And normally, that would be an issue. There'd be barking. There'd be all kinds of roughhousing. But they just kind of like regard each other. They know they have to be on their best behavior because they're on the U-Bahn. They're on the subway system. And it's incredible. The dogs are different on mass transit in Germany.
Yeah, they're very civilized, and it's really a pleasant, very well socialized, but a very pleasant experience to ride with animals. There's also a variety of ridership, like needing access, all kinds of medical devices and wheelchair access, mm-hmm. and you have to be careful as a walking person because you might be in front of or trying to cram into a train car that's got a huge wheelchair and you can't get ahead of yourself too much or you'll be surprised around.
Well, I know that you're talking about that guy making a 3-point turn.
Yeah.
While you were trying to get on the train.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was all about, but I think he was just messing with you.
Right. You don't know what you're going to be going around the corner, what'll be around the next corner. The guy is driving with, basically his lower jaw.
But there was one train we got on. It was late at night. U-Bahn trains are a little bit smaller than New York City subway trains, so it's kind of a cozy environment. But we got on there, and it was crowded, full of people. Some people coming back from clubs, some people going to work, and we immediately knew this was an interesting car. There were three drag queens, right? sitting on the chair. And they were dressed amazingly. I gotta say, it was just really incredible. Just
Like full makeup.
And Marilyn Manson was there.
That was cotton candy Marilyn Monroe wig.
That's right. That was good too.
That was pretty happening. Uh-huh, and uh-huh. They were working it.
And there's a goth girl too.
Yeah, totally. Like on their way home or going wherever. But just minding their own business along with everybody else. A lot of other people loud, of course, with their little conversations from the bar.
Yeah. And that's what kind of got me, concerned, because I saw all these other people that were dressed, quote unquote, normally. And I was like, OK, are these guys getting any kind of a hassle from the other people? Do we need to make sure everybody is OK? Then there was this little dog under a chair that occasionally if somebody would gesture toward me, come out, allow himself to be petted and go back under the chair. So there was that going on. And then, I realized that, all my concerns were for naught because, when those people got up and left, they said goodnight to the other people on the train. They all knew each other. And it was so amazing because they were all so very different, yet they all were getting along and we're a part of this crazy Berlin night scene, which puts New York to shame, actually. You think New York has all kinds of, amazing characters wandering the streets. Berlin can really teach a lesson or two, I think.
Yeah, it was, just surreal, this mm-hmm. weird 5-10 minutes in the night. Not at all for any one person, but just the confluence of people experiencing this short train ride and underground ride in Germany.
Yeah, weirdness is good. Weirdness is something that, it's not an issue to be concerned about.
I would say, you might have these experiences on Uber or the other ride-sharing platforms, but it's not the same. It's not the same as public transport. You're not elbow to elbow. You're not learning new systems and schedules and the way it all interconnects. And just, again, the, random people traveling home at any one time on these systems, mm-hmm. it can be just so fascinating to be one of those people.
Yeah, you have to plunge into it.
Even if it's in the middle of Bucharest and they shut everything down and you have to start walking, it's still fun.
Yeah, it's great to be as flustered as a native Romanian in Bucharest when the transit system shuts down, because we all saw all kinds of cussing and swearing in the native tongue.
We were not the only people. There were plenty of other people that obviously don't ride it all the time.
And if you have a head for system, sometimes you're directing them. You'd say, there's a metro over there, and that happens.
Was that not that was a big theme on this trip, E. Mm-hmm. We were asked a lot. I mean, more than average in various cities. I think in two different cities, maybe three different times, you were specifically asked directions. And at least two or three of those times you were able to help.
Yeah. One time I sent somebody in a random direction, but most times I'm able to tell people exactly how to get to where they're going.
Yeah. I think one was in Alexanderplatz, but very, very cool to be back in Berlin. And we got to do everything that we wanted to do. We got to unwind a little bit from our venturing out east.
We went to a coffee cafe near where we were staying.
Wasn't that weird?
this coffee, we knew something was weird as soon as we walked in, because you noticed that there was a bird inside the cafe. And then shortly afterwards, you noticed there was a second bird. And then all of a sudden we realized there's a bunch of birds in here. What the hell is going on? And trying to have a croissant, and this bird lands next to it saying, how much, are you going to finish there? Looking expectantly at you. Then I hop on Yelp just to look up this cafe. And sure enough, everybody's talking about this disgusting cafe that has birds flying around inside, which I thought was pretty amazing. But they're known for that, apparently. And you'd never see that in New York.
Yeah, I would. I wanted to come up with a rating system for coffee places now that I'm full coffee snob. But yes, it was a small chain that basically accepted the fact they couldn't keep these birds out. There's like four of them.
No, there were more than four, Kyle. More than four.
Okay, there were a bunch of birds basically living, squatting in this coffee place. And I know there would be a lot of consternation and management notes and sanitary, who knows what, all kinds of health claims and all of that kind of bureaucracy over this issue. But they just kind of dealt with it. They accepted it. It was part of how this coffee shop was going to run things. And they,
I got strange looks for taking pictures of birds inside the coffee shop from the staff. Like, why are you taking pictures of the birds? Everybody knows there's birds in here.
Yeah, they had their hands full just running the shop itself. I'm not going to critique it, but there's definite reasons. When you're a chain, you have less of that sort of homey atmosphere, because maybe if it wasn't that sort of larger model, they would have had a cat, something to not at least keep the birds at bay, not eat them. I didn't say that.
A cat would be a good idea.
But if it was a smaller chain, you know what I'm saying? Like, like not a big chain, but like a small shop that they had more control. And
but
then the
here's
manager...
the thing. They're part of a chain, but they're the only branch of that chain that has birds. It's not a thing for the chain, I don't think.
No, that's the thing. It's like they don't have a policy for that. And why would they? Because if you're a chain and you're this big, you'd have like a company-wide liability.
We have birds. The one in West Berlin, they got a plant. You know, everyone has their own thing going on, and that just happens to be their thing. So yeah, we walked around, we saw the birds in the cafe, and we realized this is Berlin. We went to a laundry in Berlin as well, and this is one we've been to before. We've been to this laundromat, and every time we go to this laundromat, there's this guy there. I guess he's the guy who runs the place. He always he dresses up in the most flamboyant outfits, which is unusual for a laundromat manager. But it's sort of he also runs a cafe, and every time we go there over the years, we notice this guy. He talks to us. It's really kind of interesting. And this time we went there. And sure enough, the guy was there. And then at one point, he was leaving, said goodbye to everybody. And that's when I saw out the window as he was walking away that there was somebody following him who was dressed exactly like him. And I was like, Kyle, look at this. This is kind of strange, don't you think? He's cloned himself. There's another one. Then I went on Yelp to look this place up. Turns out the place is run by twins. I didn't know this. We'd never seen them both at the same time. And not only that, one of the twins is really nice and the other twin is really nasty. So you have all these people posting these confused reviews of a laundromat. And I don't know why anybody would post a review of a laundromat, but people do. And, the reviews say things like, I don't know what happened. The guy was so nice last time I was here, and this time he was sarcastic and nasty, and vice versa. The guy was nasty, and now all of a sudden he's nice. It's two different people. And we've mentioned this to people in Berlin, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we know that place."
Yeah, it's true. I mean, there's improvements that we noticed in the place. Obviously, business is good. They have Club Mate now.
They do.
So
yes.
Our favorite laundromat there is that much more powerful because they have this divine nectar. But at the same time, we solved their mystery and. I think we enjoyed reading reviews more this trip than in prior trips. Just the entertainment value alone in this case, people incredibly confused, having no idea that they're twins. You knew this place before I had been traveling there. We've been going there every time I can recall ever going to Berlin, it's been like one of our traditions. And, you know, you have to do laundry on the road, especially if you don't bring 2 weeks worth of clothing.
Right.
And that's part of traveling light and that whole discussion.
And the things
so,
you see in the laundromat are priceless.
Cool. Yeah, you know, you get Wi-Fi, you get a soda, you can, you know, get into a conversation about what crazy news you're seeing on the internet or not. And it's cool. It's cool to, like, experience that. And this was one of those funny things that of all those times we had to actually ask ourselves, which one have we been speaking with the whole time? Is it the mean one? Or, you know, because this person basically through mitosis or, you know, whatever, cell division has basically become now two people. And literally it's twins. So that's exactly what was going on.
And once again, Berlin shows us that weirdness is cool. Weirdness is something to aspire to. And that it should be celebrated every occurrence.
Not only that, they dress the same. I mean, that's the weirdness. I think that they're
it was so weird.
They are rocking it. Like, you know what? Yeah, we're twins. And by the way, we coordinated this outfit.
And we run a damn laundromat. I mean,
because
think about
what else are you going to do?
Twins running along and a cafe, because everything has a cafe attached to it.
That's right.
You can't avoid that. Hey, so let's leave Germany and go to England, because that's the other country we want to talk about tonight. We took actually three trains to get from Berlin to London. In fact, you might have heard part of a recording from Brussels that we made last week before we went to Iceland. But yeah, we basically made our way into England. You were interrogated. You were interrogated leaving the EU. Well, it's still the EU, so I'm not sure exactly why you get interrogated so badly. But we were leaving Brussels and getting onto the Eurostar, and that's where they basically look at your passports again. And what happened to you?
I don't know. I think I don't know. My luck had run out. Not really run out. I got the third degree.
You made it to Ukraine. You made it to Moldova,
this
Romania.
Lovely black woman who was my border agent going into the UK. She did not want any of it. She wasn't having anything that I was bringing to this. Just everything. I took off the hat, you know, as like a gesture. And that wasn't all the way off. Don't just pull it off your forehead.
She didn't appreciate the cornrows, you think?
No, I did not see any of my fashion choices as forward thinking or interesting. No, it was not about that. Then it was about where have you been? When did you leave? So I had to thankfully recall the flight out on Christmas, which was not hard to remember. So I got into interrogation mode, which is kind of this thing where you delay as much as you can without appearing to be thinking and, you know, digging, because you might not know the answer to the question right away. So you kind of go, form the sentence and then deliver, you know, at the last minute, your response to the border agent. And so I had the exact day in mind, but it just took me a while to go through. So in interrogation mode, I'm now reciting back and trying to get the cadence just right so I don't appear to be completely out of it, which she derailed immediately by asking me, so the last trip when you were here in June, how long were you here? Like, I had no idea. I said a week, or I didn't even remember. Who remembers, you know, how long they were? And she looked at me and said, it's right here in your passport. So, I mean,
which she had and you didn't.
Correct. So I had endless. It then became 21 questions, and she just was not really into my American border finessing. And
well, I don't understand what you mean by border finesse. What were you doing that was unusual?
No, it just every question I did wrong, basically. No, she just wanted more and more. I got the third degree. It was just this like nonstop battery of questions I was not really prepared for. I was maybe ready for one or two questions, but I got grilled about everything. What do you do? Where are you going? How long are you staying? Where have you been? I forgot to mention Poland, and apparently that didn't come up. But, you know, I listed every single country we had been to.
Uh-huh.
It was – no, but at the same time, like, geopolitically, you're sitting there going through passports for – oh, what's this? An American. Let me ask him a couple questions, because we're doing as much to people coming to the U.S.
So, you think it was because you were American?
I think there's a little bit of that. I think it's just you kind of have to have empathy for what they're looking for. I have been questioned in the past going to the U.K., so I wasn't actually too surprised. It's just the barrage, like the continuing escalation of specific questions about what I was doing.
You think you look like a Trump supporter or something like that? You think that might be why you were targeted? Were you wearing that USA baseball hat? Yeah, that could have been it.
I believe you're referring to my football hat.
Okay. It says USA on it, and yeah.
It's a football team that could use all the help it can get. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, yes.
By
the way, they did. You're talking about the soccer team.
Yes.
They didn't qualify for the World Cup this year, but Iceland did.
Heck yeah.
Iceland is in the World Cup this year. Just think about that. And Netherlands didn't qualify either. But yeah, so that could have been it. You know, USA hat, white guy that kind of, feels like he has the right to cross this border.
And looks like he's been traipsing around Moldova for the last couple of weeks. I don't know. It can be anything. You know, honestly, when you're at the border, you are at the mercy of those agents.
Absolutely.
You need to get in their shoes. You got to get humble. You got to just answer the questions and be on your way.
I wasn't, because I have an EU passport, and they just waved me in, and they didn't even say a word to me. I'm kind of jealous, actually.
Didn't get the tood.
Yeah. But anyway, in the couple minutes we have left, I just want to say, so we wound up going to London. We have a history of picking places that aren't crazy expensive to stay in, and this was no exception. But what we had in London was a room like none I've ever seen before, literally. And I don't like using that word, but this is literally the truth. The room was maybe 1 foot bigger than the bed. Imagine a room where the bed takes up 95% of the room. You basically have to sort of slither in and out. That was the room we had in London. And it was incredible, because we had just been to all these other countries where we were treated with such, generosity, such lavish accommodations, for like $35 a night, things like that. And here we are in London spending significantly more than that and getting virtually no space at all. I just thought that was incredible. But again, we looked at it with humor. We did ask to be moved to a bigger room, but it took 2 days to do that. But wow, I took pictures. We made a film.
Yeah, don't trust the place. I mean, you might have had a good experience there. You don't know what they'll put you in the next time you go.
Well, we don't have to go back there. There's other places.
It's true. But we dealt with it, and it was fun. We laughed.
We had a lot of fun in England, wandering around. We only were there a couple of days. But the one major thing, first of all, I'm always amazed by transit over there. They have such amazing transit. It's just constantly expanding. It's everywhere. You can't go a block without running into a train. Basically tried to get to the airport to get our flight to Iceland. It was at Gatwick Airport. I'd never been to Gatwick before. And we had to take a couple of trains to get there. Our flight was around noon, so we had to leave in the morning. And it turns out rush hour in London is a nightmare. We basically walked to the tube station, and there were people literally spilling out into the street. They were in the street, and they weren't moving. They weren't moving at all, and we were panicking, because how are we going to move forward? We couldn't get on a bus. All the buses were overcrowded. There were no cabs. And then I came up with the idea, okay, let's go in the other direction. Let's take a bus going the other way where nobody's going and just hit the next tube station and see what we can do there. Turns out we did that, wound up hitting the next tube station, which was also part of a rail system called Southern, which went directly to the airport. I had no idea. It was complete luck. But that is the mark of a great city, when you have backup transit systems that can be used when one is cripplingly slow. And London, they're building the Elizabeth Line, which is a new underground line, which opens, I think, later this year. They're just constantly building and adding, and we saw that everywhere we went, is investment in infrastructure, which is an amazing thing.
Yeah, like more and faster, fast trains, high-speed lines, and mm-hmm. Better integration, which we could use more of around here in the States.
Yes.
But we're too busy with you know, new phones and things. And one thing I can say about phones in Europe is most of the people there are on iOS 7. You want to know why I can say that, E?
Why?
Because you hear a default ringtone.
Oh, yes.
It's not this ringtone.
Hold on. This is the ringtone. No, you want me to play this one? Okay, I'll play
yeah.
this one.
Starting out a long time ago, Steve Jobs was so annoyed. He was trying to develop this thing, this iPhone, to compete. And the ringtone he hated was this Nokia ringtone. And years ago, you'd hear this everywhere.
Uh-huh,
in
uh-huh.
Europe, all over the planet, maybe a lot in Africa and Asia.
I'll get it later. Yeah.
A lot of people, if you
That's
had a candy
my
bar.
Actual phone ringing.
A candy bar phone, you'd recognize that.
Damn it. I thought I turned it off. Okay.
Could you just mute it for the show?
I'll just throw it out the window.
Okay. We know. We did some research. He got really into making original music for the iPhone. The original 25 ringtones for the iPhone did not include the opening ringtone, but it is default. It is everywhere in Europe, and we began to be annoyed by that, which is really ironic because that is exactly why Steve Jobs created the original iPhone ringtone set.
So this is the replacement for the annoying one that annoyed Steve Jobs.
Yeah, and even further after, because it wasn't part of the original 25 iPhone ringtones. But by iOS 7, this then became the default, which now annoys us, which he didn't, you know, like the original Nokia.
So this is what we heard everywhere we went in Europe. Everybody has this damn ringtone.
Everyone. So this was not, as I said before, not part of the original 25. That included
pick up
marimba.
The damn phone already.
The one that this is called is
oh, now
opening.
They're both ringing.
So that's opening.
Wow.
Now the Nokia ringtone.
Uh-huh.
Oh
drives
God,
you nuts,
I can't
it?
Even think.
We're out of time, Kyle. We're
it
out
was,
of time.
It was based on a 1902 guitar riff from an amazing, beautiful, beautiful song. The Apple Let's ones were not based on anything.
Listen to the beautiful song, and then we'll be back next week. You can write to us, otw@2600.com.
I like a nice AT&T bell.
Is this from 19-something?
The composition is, yes.
A long time ago. Well, listen carefully, and you'll hear it. See you next week. Good night.